Hi, this is part of the Decision 2010 Central Texas Candidate Forum, and this part is we're going to be talking to the Democratic contenders for the State Board of Education District 5. My name is Nathan Bernier. I'm a reporter for Austin NPR member station KUT 90.5 FM. The State Board of Education is often misunderstood and overlooked state body, but it's important. Here's just a brief civics lesson. State Board of Education has 15 members. They're all elected, and they each serve four-year terms. And they set the academic standards for more than 4 million Texas public school children. They also oversee the Permanent School Fund, which is an endowment worth more than $20 billion. So it's a state body worth paying attention to, and that's what we're going to do today. So joining me now are the candidates in the Democratic primary for State Board of Education District 5. Josiah Ingalls, immediately to my left here, ran for Austin mayor in 2009. He has some experience in the hospitality industry and currently works as a machine operator for Otis Spunkmeyer. Thanks for joining us, Josiah.
Thank you for having me.
Rebecca Bell-Medero, professor of English at Texas State University. In San Marcos, she's acted as planning and zoning commissioner and was a member of Solid Waste and Blue Ribbon Bond Commissions. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Bell-Medero.
Thank you.
Dr. Daniel Boone has a doctorate in experimental psychology, a career Air Force officer, having obtained the rank of lieutenant colonel. For more than a decade, you operated Aardvark Annie's restaurant at Canyon Lake until a flood in 2002, and now you oversee some lodging facilities in San Antonio and Canyon Lake. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Boone.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. And Robert Baumfock from Seguin, a mental health case manager. You were a United Methodist pastor for 15 years, and you've testified before the state board several times since 1978, so you obviously take an interest in these issues. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Baumfock.
Thank you very much.
So here are some of the rules under which we're going to be operating today. All of the candidates will be asked to respond to questions, and they'll be given 60 seconds to respond. There will be 60-second closing statements at the end. The speaking order has been determined by a random drawing. Each candidate will have an opportunity to get the first response at least one time. So let's begin. We'll start with you, Josiah, because you drew lucky number one. I just wanted to start by giving each of you an opportunity to explain your own background in your own terms and how that would how that qualifies you to serve as a member on the State Board of Education. And you'll each get 60 seconds to respond, beginning with you, Josiah.
Thank you. I have been the president of the School for All Children Act since 2006, an organization that I founded. So I've been involved in education for quite a while. And on top of that, the SBOE currently needs to be able to better our educational materials for special needs. And since I was a special needs student in the public school system, I know and can see material and see where it lacks, because people that don't have that and don't see through those eyes see material and say, I understand this. This is good. Let's use this. You need to see it from the person, that viewpoint that you're going to be showing it to them and trying to teach them. And that's a unique perspective I could give to the SBOE.
All right. Thank you, Josiah. Dr. Bell-Medero.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you. And as an educator for 28 years at Texas State University, I see directly the problems that we're having with education. When my husband and I were in the Peace Corps, we saw an educational system that didn't have but much money, but people were dedicated to education. On the board, I will bring the perspective of a teacher and someone who's worked on issues like dropout rates and curriculum and books. When we were at Texas State, I was on the committee with the president working on our own dropout rate, which was we had 68% retention of freshmen, and we currently have 79% freshman retention. So that kind of issue is something that the State Board of Education needs to address, and we need up-to-date textbooks. We need a State Board of Education that actually knows about education.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Bell-Medero. Dr. Daniel Boone, what in your background qualifies you to sit on the State Board of Education?
Well, I would like to say that I hold a doctorate in experimental psychology, and I'm also a licensed clinical psychologist, and indeed I had at one time with my wife, who is a teacher, a small corporation known as Potential for Human Development, who taught teachers how to select series of textbooks. Quite frankly, my experience and background is too much to go into right here, so I ask people to look at my website, boonfortexas.com. Let me say and express it like this. I'm a strong proponent of keeping politics out of our Board of Education and the classroom, and putting in the classroom excellence in education and accuracy in education. And I appreciate very much being on the panel here with such a well-prepared group of Democrats for the Board of Education.
All right. Thank you for your response. And your turn, Mr. Bonfock. What qualifies you?
Well, I think all of us are better qualified than the one who is our representative now. I went to Southwestern University, and I had a double major of history and government. Then I went to seminary at TCU. As a pastor, I had to oversee the budgets of several churches and also get teachers. And in fact, I also was able to teach several Sunday school classes. I was a scoutmaster for 10 to 15 years, and I worked with the scouts at that time too. We need to let the teachers be free to teach, get away from the test. I testified at the textbook hearings for seven times, first time since 1978. Looking not so much what was in them, but what was not listed.
All right, Mr. Bonfock, thank you for your time. I'm sorry you've exceeded your minute. I'm going to move on to the next question now. Cultural issues are obviously very important to a lot of people who are interested in the state board in this particular race, and not the least of which because the state board has received a lot of attention over the past few years, particularly when it came to developing science standards and social study standards, which it is still in the process of adopting. And I wanted to give each of you an opportunity to address those two issues separately, and we'll start with the science curriculum standards. They've been adopted, but there's still a textbook process that's ongoing, so it's should one of you be elected to the state board, you'd have to deal with that in your capacity as a member. So beginning with you, Dr. Bell-Metterow, how do you feel about the process to select the science curriculum standards, to choose the science curriculum standards, and it's sort of a two-part question, the process and the final result?
It's not really a matter of feelings, and one of the problems with the board so far is that they've been governed by their feelings and personal beliefs. We need to distinguish between science, which has a method that is designed to be based on facts and what is observable, and it's really crucial that we teach students what real science is because it affects our economy. I know Representative Strama said that on the technology committee, he has a hard time getting businesses to come to Texas because we're perceived as anti-science. So the result has been a watering down of the texts and even a confusion of science in some of the revisions suggested by board members. This has to change because it's hurting our students' prospects for higher education and our economy itself.
Dr. Boone, how do you feel about the process that was the process to select the science standards and the final result?
Well, as we all, I think, are in agreement, the way things are done in the State Board of Education now are severely flawed. Now, the teachers tell me, and I certainly agree with it from my background and experience, that children are basically in the classroom to learn problem solving. And when you get agendas that are aside from giving our teachers the best materials for teaching the students problem-solving techniques, then we're off base. And that, of course, is what has been the problem. Letting politics and personal agendas get in the way of teaching our children with the best textbooks. And so we have to get that out of the State Board of Education and get back in the business of finding the best mix between the scholars and our teachers for putting the textbooks in the hands of the students to teach the best.
Thank you, Dr. Boone. Mr. Baumfalk, your response.
I believe in teaching sound science. What we're talking about basically is teaching evolution in our schools. There's no conflict between between evolution and my faith. Time does not control God. God controls time. Reminds me of a story between of a conversation between man and God, where man asked God, "Is it true that to you a second is the same as a million years?" And God said, "Yes." And man asked God, "Is it true that to you a penny is the same as a million dollars?" And God said, "Yes." Then man asked God, "Can I have a million dollars?" And God said, just a second.
All right. Thank you for your response, Dr. Baumfalk. Mr. Baumfalk, my apologies. Mr. Ingalls, your response.
Thank you. As you can see, we're all in agreement that the SBOE is greatly lacking, its current SBOE, in being able to handle this task to be able to define what should be taught in the science classes and what should be in the textbooks. And my belief is that we need to be putting law first, ethics second, and the SBOE currently doesn't do that when they decide what is going to be taught. They put their own personal beliefs, their own personal ethics first. And in doing so, they break the law. The law states that church and state must be separate. Therefore, I believe that creation should be taught in the Christian home and at church, and evolution should be taught in the school system, because, like Rebecca has said, that it should be about science is about what is factual, what you can preserve and look at and actually be able to break down and see what it really is made of.
All right, Mr. Ingalls, that's your minute, and thank you for your response. The next question will begin with Dr. Boone, and I wanted to move to the social studies adoption process because that is underway, and you know, again, we expect the State Board to take a final vote perhaps in May on this, but so before any general election should occur. However, there's still a textbook process to consider, a textbook adoption process. And I wanted to leave this open because there's been so many issues in the news about the social studies standards. What's your impression so far of how the State Board has gone about revising the curriculum standards? Would you do anything different?
Oh, very much so. One of the things, and I was pleased to stand and testify to the board along with Representative Chavez about the fact that in history, apparently, they have decided that our Hispanics have not made any particular contribution to Texas history or I guess, to world history. And that, of course, is ridiculous. And in terms of economics, they have left out, as we need a balance between every major element in government and in business, they have chosen to leave out any reference at all to the labor movement and how that protected the worker from abuses by industry. And I think those are terrible mistakes that they have made and certainly need to be corrected, and I will continue to testify about that until we get it solved.
Thank you for your response, Dr. Boone. Mr. Baumfalk.
It's not what the students know or learn. It seems like textbooks cannot have too much in it, you know, when it comes to history and all like that. Back in 78, there was a American history, high school history textbook that had only two pages of the Vietnam War, and there were two books that had that did not have America's landing on the moon. Also, one thing that all of American history textbooks left out was Jim Jones and the Jonestown mass suicide, which is part of American history, and students need to know how easy it is for people to be brainwashed by a cult. Back in about 7 to 8 years ago, there was an American history textbook that was heavily criticized and then finally pulled because it had one paragraph about prostitution in the Old West. Well, I told the board at that time that no American history textbook can ever have as much sex and violence as the Old Testament does.
All right, Mr. Baumfuck, thank you for your response. Mr. Ingalls.
Thank you. Our textbook adoption process greatly lacks, and the SBOE currently is taking under themselves the initiative of let's rewrite history, let's make history be what we want it to be, and that is not their job. The job of the SBOE is to govern over the permanent school fund, to decide what textbooks are going to be taught, what needs to be taught, not let's rewrite history. They're overstepping their bounds, and they don't have any right to do so.
Dr. Bell-Medero, how do you feel about, again, the social studies standards process as it's gone so far? Would you do anything different?
The social studies process has been flawed by the same problem as the science process, and that is that a number of the extremists on the board don't seem to understand what history is. It's not a matter of cheerleading for one group or another. History should be a way of understanding the tapestry of influences that have brought us to where we are today. So certainly we need to include Mexican-American influences in the history book from the very first, and that actually helps with retention, too, because students see the relevance of their own lives to what they see in history.
Okay, we're going to move on to another issue that is pending before the State Board of Education, and that is the health curriculum standards. The State Board will have to deal with those within the next couple of years, I believe 2012, 2013. What, and this is beginning with you, Mr. Baumfuck, what, if anything, would you change in the sex education guidelines?
Right now, Texas has the highest dropout rate, or has the highest pregnancy rate among teens and the second highest for the second pregnancy. We need to teach, have more sex education and not just abstinence only. Abstinence is okay, but you need to teach them safe sex. Conservative parents have a right to put their own child at risk and deny them the information, but they do not have a right to keep the information from all the kids in this mistake.
Mr. Ingalls, what, if anything, would you change in the sex education guidelines should you be elected to the State Board of Education?
I think that we should have thorough, medically accurate sex education. A lot of Christian private schools teach more thorough, medically accurate sex education than the public schools currently do. On top of that, the Texas Family Code, along with the Texas Penal Code, determined that not providing medically accurate sex education to a child is neglect. And that precise legislation, word for word, is on my website, josiahingalls.com. I encourage you to visit it. Educate yourself. We need to have a board on the SBOE that is not breaking the law. We need to put law first, ethics second, and that's what I will do on the SBOE.
Thank you, Mr. Ingalls. Dr. Bell-Medero.
The sex education curriculum is flawed in its incompleteness, and the health education curriculum in general needs much more detail. Certainly, we need to eliminate some of the absence of education. For example, in 2007, the legislature, they spent $19.5 million on abstinence-only education, which has been proven in large part not to work. And the textbooks have such suggestions for preventing STDs as watch who your friends are and get plenty of sleep. This is not good advice for our students, and it's not factually accurate. So we need to change that policy for the safety and health of our young people.
Dr. Boone, your response.
In my clinical practice, I talked with, I'm reminded of a 12-year-old girl who was pregnant, and she had been under the impression that taking a hot bath would be sufficient to prevent pregnancy. That was amazing enough, but her parents were the ones who told her that. So now the State Board of Education deals with textbooks, but we also, the board also deals with adult education. And certainly in situations like that where ignorance of the process of sex education is so vast in a significant portion of our population, we certainly need to make some changes in both what we teach our young children and what we are doing in adult education with parents. I certainly think that we should work with parents, with teachers, and experts in establishing a reasonable and meaningful sex education program.
Thank you for your response, Dr. Boone. And now we're going to go right back to number one here, Josiah Ingalls, with another question. And I wanted just to take a moment to talk about the politics of your district. Now, your State Board of Education, District 5, is an area that encompasses all or part of 12 counties. And as a whole, it tends to lean Republican. The incumbent is a Republican. And so, starting with you, Mr. Ingalls, what makes you the best Democrat to carry the Democratic banner in a general election?
I feel I'm the best candidate because I have been involved in education a long time, and I do everything I can to back my arguments in law and not just back my arguments in just my beliefs. And in that area, law follows you and carries you further than just your personal beliefs, because when you have the law backing your argument, no one can disagree with that. And I've tried very hard throughout this campaign to make sure that what I say and how I am approaching the issues is backed in law when possible. And that will make me the stronger candidate.
All right. Dr. Bell Medero.
We need educators on the State Board of Education. And as a teacher for over 28 years, that is my biggest asset for the Board of Education. As a Democrat, I have raised over $30,000, and I have the endorsements of all of the Democratic clubs, and in Austin and San Antonio, I have the endorsement of Secretary Henry Cisneros and a number of the representatives in the Austin area. So I have been running a campaign that's been very vigorous, and it's been grassroots, little donations from teachers and people who really care about education. I don't have people dumping $30,000 or $35,000 on me for probably financial and political reasons. I have people who care about education supporting me as the one teacher who can make a difference on the board.
Thank you, Dr. Bell Medero. Dr. Boone, what makes you the best Democrat to carry the Democratic banner in a general election?
First off, this is not an issue of Democrat or Republican. It's a matter of what we're going to do to teach our children to bring them into the 21st century, whether that's to go on to the university, and we certainly need to increase our technical education for those who are not ready, are not planning to, or choose to go into the working community. As both a scientist and as a clinician, I feel that my background is ideal for serving on the State Board of Education. But the main thing I want to point out here is dollars don't make the difference. We're not going to be, quite frankly, we're not going to be able to outspend the Republicans. They can outspend us 10, 20 to 1. We're not going to win that way. We're going to win because we have the right message and the right people up and down the ballot, and we are going to be able to get our message out, and that will make all of our Democrat candidates ideal for success.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Boone. Mr. Baumfock, what makes you the best Democrat to win for the Democratic Party in a general election?
As a Christian, I believe in fighting fire with fire. I think there's enough in the Bible to oppose the religious right with what they come with. I've been president of the Guadalupe County Democratic Club for 2 years and vice president for 2 years, especially during the term when President Obama won. This state is on the verge of becoming blue. Only three states had more Democrats vote for Obama than Texas did, even though Texas lost it. My slogan would be put Texas back on track, bring her back, vote Democrat, or people like Bush will be back.
Thank you, Mr. Bonfall. Okay, this time the question begins with Dr. Belmedero, and I wanted to discuss an issue that doesn't always get a lot of attention, although it has recently, what I'm referring to is the Permanent School Fund. It's an endowment worth more than $20 billion. The State Board of Education is responsible for handling the Permanent School Fund. How do you think the State Board has done so far at that task, and what, if anything, would you do differently as a member of the State Board?
The State Board has had issues with conflict of interest in the management of the Permanent School Fund. The way to solve that problem of conflict of interest is to have people on the board who do not have associations with fund managers, who do not have businesses that are connected with making money from education. We really need to return education to the public, and we need board members who have spotless ethics and who don't have a financial interest in any particular company or any particular publisher or any particular testing agency. That's the best way to solve the problem of the Permanent School Fund. And also, we need to have people who understand how to get our money's worth out of our educational dollars and select the best textbooks and the best curriculum so that our education is working. It's not wasting time getting sidetracked into other issues.
Thank you, Dr. Belmedero. Dr. Boone.
Again, let me request that those people watching look at my website to see where my credentials are in finance. And along that issue, I would like to say what we need to deal with first off is establishing an ethics standard for members of the board. And everybody is aware of the problems that have been brought to the surface about some ethics. Now, as a member of the military, when we were dealing in multimillion-dollar contracts with contractors, we were allowed one cup of coffee, and that was the maximum that we could accept in the way of a gift from a contractor. That's not a bad way to go, but we certainly should have some kind of standards. Now, we should be acting towards our permanent school fund to keep it sequestered from investments in real estate, to agendas that do not belong in the permanent school fund. Have 15 seconds?
You don't. I'm sorry.
No. Okay.
But each one of you will get 60 seconds for a closing statement, so you can always use some of that time if you wish. Mr. Bonfalk, thoughts on the permanent school fund? How do you think the State Board has done it managing that large fund so far? And what, if anything, would you do differently?
Right now, it's almost like the fox guarding the hen house. We got people on the State Board of Education who would have believed that investing Social Security in Lehman Brothers and Enron was a good thing. We're lucky that no bad investments, as we know of, has been taking place, but They're not taking the advice of the financial counselors in which that they have, or that has been there in the past. And I do know that during of this economic times, we have to be careful where the school fund is placed. Thank you,
Josiah Ingalls. Same question. Your response.
I feel that the current SBOE is greatly mishandling the finances. As we all know, that there is a lot of conflict of interest in who gets the contracts and how things are done. But the teachers that I have met and over my lifetime and the people that have come to me in this campaign has stated, and I agree with them, that more of that money needs to be spent in the classroom, that we're not spending enough in each classroom. And it has been suggested that $75 out of every 100 should be spent in the classroom. But we're not doing that. We are wasting a lot of money. Money is being transferred from here to there, and there's really a hard time keeping track of what's being spent. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ingalls. Well, that brings us to the closing statement portion of our forum. And I believe that you, Dr. Boone, are up next for speaking first. You have 60 seconds to make a closing statement.
60 seconds for an Irishman is cruel and unusual punishment. But there are so many things that we need to deal with. However, in either case, whoever we decide or whoever the people decide to represent them in the Democratic race for the State Board of Education, we will be well represented, any of us here. I, of course, feel that I am the best qualified, and I do solicit your vote and your support. And I would like to close by saying I do believe, and they'll speak for themselves, but we all agree that we should keep politics out of the State Board of Education. We should keep our personal agendas out of the State Board of Education, and we should have only one agenda, and that is excellence in education and accuracy in education for all of our school children and making Texas ready for the 21st century. Thank you.
Mr. Baumfock, closing statement.
I would appreciate everyone's vote. My name is Robert Baumfock. We do need to do something about the teenage pregnancy and the dropout rate. Every school district in the state is at risk for being sued by a former school district, by a former student that gets AIDS and may come back and sue the school district for not giving them the information to protect themselves. Everyone up over here is a fine candidate. The State Board of Education will not change unless one of us is elected to the State Board in the fall. Thank you very much.
Mr. Ingalls, 60 seconds for a closing statement.
Thank you. I would like to say that it has been an honor to run as a candidate along with my colleagues here, and that I am respectfully asking for your vote and your support on the second in order to be able to go forth and represent you and what you need and what you believe to the SBOE and be able to finally have someone in office that understands special needs and also have someone in office that will put law first and ethics second. So I respectfully ask for your vote. Thank you.
And the final 60-second closing statement, Dr. Bell Medero.
As the only educator running in District 5, I'm someone who cares about education. As a parent of two daughters who graduated from public schools, I know the problems that we have. As someone who trains teachers and how to teach, I know the problems they face with having to teach to the test. We have to get rid of that. As someone who has worked with very, very poor people, I know how difficult it is for some school districts to survive and teach their students. We don't need people who are lawyer lobbyists, people who are career politicians, or using stepping stones as a way to get to other offices. We need people who are really dedicated to education. When you elect me to our Board of Education, together, we will work to have the best textbooks, the most up-to-date science and history, and we'll prepare our students for higher education, higher-paying jobs, because we all really do care about education. So visit voterebecca.com to check out my background.
Thank you very much, Dr. Bell-Medero. I want to thank all four of you for participating in this debate, the Democratic primary for State Board of Education District 5, Josiah Ingalls, Rebecca Bell-Medero, Daniel Boone, and Robert Bonfock. Thank you all very much. Thank you to our audience and to our panels for participating in this. Thank you to Community Impact for organizing this debate. And thank you for watching this 2010 Central Texas Community Forum.